The word of God for our meditation on this Pentecost Sunday was inspired by God the Holy Spirit through the pen of the Apostle Paul in the letter to the Romans. You'll hear it a couple times in this sermon and again in the service as Naomi recites it. But it's Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. This from the greeting of the Lord's Apostle Paul to the Romans at the beginning of the letter. To all those loved by God who are in Rome, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. With that greeting, we bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord. In you we hope. Amen. In the name of Jesus, our faithful Savior, dear fellow Christians, disciples of our Lord, and especially you, dear Naomi, on your confirmation Sunday. Who would have thought that we would need to celebrate your confirmation by live stream virtual worship? But there's nothing, as they might say, a new word for me, cybernetic or virtual about your confirmation. This is very real. And there is a very real need for what you've been taught and what you confess on this day publicly in this service. We live in such a confused age, a violent age, which we're seeing again in our country and right here in our own Twin Cities. It breaks our hearts. And yet we know that the answer is here in God's word and in these two verses of Romans 10, 9 and 10, your chosen confirmation verse. It's a beautiful choice for this day. I'm often amazed how the Holy Spirit does pick the word for the day, not just for your confirmation, but the people that need to hear this or who will hear it in a recording in some time, but words that I need to hear too, as the Holy Spirit blesses us individually as each one. We're going to see in this sermon how the Lord leads us to these blessings of the Spirit in confirmation, which just means a strengthening, a making firm, so that we can, as individual souls, express joy over the solid training and the firm foundation that He gives us in salvation. Each of us needs this, and our nation needs this. Our world needs this. So we come to really a parable that the Lord used to summarize our text and your confirmation verse. I love how Jesus would tell these earthly stories with a heavenly meaning, and He could nail it for people in every age. Jesus said that everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on bedrock. The rain came down, the rivers rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, but it did not fall because it was founded on bedrock. Bedrock, confirmation. Confirmation blessings from the dear Spirit with results that we're seeing in your life as confessed today in your confirmation Sunday. So we're meditating on Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 from the New International Version. The Lord says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. It was good that you also wanted verse 10 for your confirmation passage, because as I studied this, I realized this is a literary device called a chiasm. You don't normally see it, and it might not be real clear in English here, because usually this word for declare or profess is translated with confess. Homologeo is the Greek word, and it begins at the beginning and comes at the end, and then there's faith here and faith here, and it's a beautiful literary device. It's all over the scriptures. The Holy Spirit uses these, where if you declare this or confess it with your mouth, homologeo means to say the same thing. And we do that at the beginning and the ending of your verse. The Holy Spirit says Jesus is Lord. And we hear that, and he gives us the miracle of faith, and we say, yes, Jesus is Lord. In fact, Jesus is my Lord. He's the Lord of my life. He's going to tell me what to do, how to do it, what to think and feel, and bless me along the way as the Holy Spirit comes through that word. The Holy Spirit says not just that Jesus Christ is Lord, but that God raised him from the dead. And we say, yes, amen. He is risen indeed. You can't help it. You hear it, you believe it, you confess it. And all this goes on at the same time by a miracle. The same Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians, sets the record straight when he says no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So we learned, as Luther summarized it in the third article of the Apostles' Creed, I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. He does this constantly. He does it beautifully. He does it so that we can confess our faith, as you did in your beautiful confirmation paper that was assigned to you by Pastor Mittelstadt. Thank you for sharing that. It's a miracle that a young Christian can sit down and write those things and believe what faith is and what it does and express it so well. That's a miracle. That's a blessing. And it's one of the results that we see from our dear Holy Spirit, a gift of Jesus, so that we too can have this solid training that continues throughout our lifetime. And as it is my joy to say again, across the generations, I'm going to miss telling Grandma Rose stories in my catechism class, because you, Naomi, with your siblings are fifth generation from my adopted grandma in high school, Rose Rabenberg. She just, tough farmer's, Dakota farmer's wife, but had that softness in her heart, that kindness, that as students at that boarding school, Northwestern Lutheran Academy, Mobridge, South Dakota, used to be there, but as students came through, and especially far from home, she would adopt them. Her boys, she called us. So in my class of 24 students, four were grandchildren of Rose Rabenberg. And her kindness continues to this day as I think back on what a blessing far from home it was to have that inclusion, just to be invited for dinner. Students who stay in dormitories will say it's just fun to get down on a carpet floor every once in a while and feel what it's like to be at home. And that was the blessing of your great-great-grandmother, a blessing that I see going on to this day. And, these things are so small and insignificant by the world out there. People would hear that and say, oh, big deal, that's your little story, Pastor. Who cares? Well, let me tell you another story, and who cares, except the Holy Spirit. A work day, years ago, right outside the front door there, I'm trimming with a power trimmer. Jim Merton lost an electric cord that day from my power trimmer. I still remember the sparks. But we had a tarp spread, no fire started or anything, but all of the little branches from the yew tree bush were falling down there, and some fell off to the edges of the tarp, and I was wondering, how am I going to pick all those up? And just about the time that I was finished, your mom walks up with many sets of little hands and got down on your knees and picked up all those little branches. You guys probably don't even remember that. But it was in the children's lesson the next day, because this is the Holy Spirit. This is working in little hearts to do what seems so insignificant and unimportant, but it's how the Holy Spirit works and shows himself by using our gifts from solid training. You know it begins in the home. It's not about just coming to church all the time or even going to a Lutheran school. If it doesn't start with parents in the home and pastors and teachers assisting the parents, it doesn't tend to stick and stay as we wish it would. What we need, every last one of us, every single soul in church and those who are never in church, we need to hear the bad news in God's law. And Paul has laid that foundation in Romans of how there is not one who does good, not one who seeks the Lord. Every last one of us need the dear Holy Spirit to convict us of our sin and cause us to cry out, "What shall I do?" As the jailer at Philippi did, if you remember in Acts chapter 16, "What shall I do to be saved?" And the answer was not to do, but to believe. And the gospel, the good news, came and created faith in his heart when they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And then four verses about him and his whole family hearing the word, being baptized, rejoicing because they had faith. There are results. And we celebrate those results in your confirmation today. Results that come from the dear Holy Spirit working in our hearts. A blessing of faith in solid training so that we continue in this word of life. Solid training that, again, is there in your confirmation verse. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess or confess your faith and are saved. Faith can't help it. Faith must express itself. And faith is looking forward to this wonderful blessing of eternal salvation for all who believe, as the words and promises of God declare. The Holy Spirit saved us, it says, not by the righteous things we had done, that's Titus 5:2, but through his washing of rebirth, that's the born-again washing and renewal by the Holy Spirit, which he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we would become heirs, having the hope of eternal life, that hope of salvation. Now, you know that it's not just about coming to see, and maybe the Lord is teaching us some lessons at this time when we can only gather with such a small group for worship and sing and then live stream as best we can, but we don't have the wonderful experience right now of being together as a congregation and worshiping and receiving the Holy Sacrament. Is it possible that the Lord is impressing on us the blessing, the power of the Holy Spirit in confirming our faith with this word, the word proclaimed? Because imagine if it was just silence. I don't think anybody would be live streaming today if it was all silence. They didn't come to see me. They got to hear something. And if there's any moment of silence for too long, we get a signal from the back to turn on the mic. So I was relieved of that responsibility today by one of the technicians that he will control my microphone and I won't have to worry about that. It's on. But imagine that silence. We don't need the silence. And yet, I'm here to tell you that sometimes the most beautiful confessions of faith seem silent to the world, but they're as loud as can be. Just to throw you a curve, Mr. Technician on the camera, can we switch to the altar just a moment? I forgot to tell you about this part. Imagine if we were worshiping in this sanctuary right now with live stream where the camera takes the altar area. What if we went back to the way it was before the remodeling? Those of you who see pictures, I still have slides of that. We did the best we could when the church was built in 1990, but it was dark wood trim all the way up, busy front. The altar blended right in. And now we have stone. Jesus said to the Jewish religious leaders on Palm Sunday when they complained about the children making too much noise, you know, tell these children to be quiet. Jesus said, then the stones will cry out. Whenever we worship and people say how beautiful the front of the church looks now, I think of the many, many hours that only God knew about that you and your siblings spent with the family here to clean up on that remodel project, to clean up and reset the church. I didn't hear a word of complaint. There was, we'll be glad when this is over. Well, yeah. But hour after hour, so that now people that don't even know about that can see, and especially in live stream, realize the stones are crying out. Solid training, proclaiming salvation. It's a beautiful faith that we have, and we want it to look as beautiful as we can, but to be focused on the altar, which is where we're reminded that Christ is here, and the Holy Spirit always focuses on Jesus. I'm going back to the pulpit now. We're going to get a switch box that will make all of this easier. More technology to come. But the Holy Spirit has these wonderful ways of confirming salvation so that you believe and confess Jesus raised him from the dead. You believe and are justified so that that means you're not guilty. Don't people need that today? Oh, such a heartache, such hurt in our nation. And yet the Lord has one simple solution for all of us, and it's called repentance. Picture a little door in a room that you really want to get out of, a dark room, fires maybe. You want out, but there's a little door and it's only about that high, and you can only go through one at a time on your knees. Jesus, I've sinned. Repentance begins with me, and I pray God will not let it end with me. Repentance begins with God's people in church hearing his word, but I pray it will not end with us. I pray that God in his great mercy will cause repentance through the dear Holy Spirit's word across our nation. That every person will realize God does not look at the color of our skin or our race, because he says we all came from Adam and Eve. We've got the same blood in our veins, and we have the same blood of God's own Son that washed all our sins away. There's room for me, and there's room for you, and room for everyone you know, but they need to hear. They need us confessing. They need us so convicted of our sin and convinced of our salvation through the good news of Christ crucified and risen that we can't keep silent. We want to cry out louder than the stones that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all. That may not be something so spectacular that, you know, you even realize you're doing it. One of my favorite ministry memories comes from back when we could still shake hands at the door. And a little first or second grader looked up and said, Pastor, could you please come and give chapel at my school? Did you even know the beautiful confession of faith? What's a pastor supposed to say? What does God say? When you come with your prayers and your desires and you pour those out before God and you come in repentant faith like David, who said, Lord, remember not the sins and offenses of my youth, but according to your mercy, remember me, for you are good. To know that the Lord is good, to give thanks to the Lord for he is good, that's a confession. To simply say what Christ has done for you, rejoicing in the full and free salvation that we have. May not even seem like you're confessing. But what a blessing you were to me on that day. These memories that I treasure in my heart of God's people and down through the generations, and how proud great-great-grandma Rose would be of her offspring, her descendants. And to be a pastor and get to see this, I just... rejoice in another unexpected blessing from this privileged position. But it does come from little voices. And the quote that I want to close with today takes us way back to what's a familiar story from Sunday school. about a young girl, perhaps your age, and she could have actually been named Naomi because it was an Israelite girl. We don't really know, but we can figure. But she was a captive, and her master was an enemy commander from Syria, Aramea. But he had this dread disease of leprosy, remember that? And with one sentence, this young girl said to her mistress, "I wish my master stood before the prophet who is in Samaria, because he would cure him of his leprosy." With that beginning, from that young girl as a captive in Israel of all places, and she confesses her faith, her confidence, no question here, if only. And it led to the humbling of this famous, powerful general so that he would actually go to the God of Israel and in humility seek God's help. And no one who comes to the Lord will ever be disappointed. Everyone, it says in the verse after our text here, everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. God wants this to be as simple as possible. And when you're confirmed in your faith, he wants it just to be the beginning, because God is just getting started with you. He's only beginning to show you the wonders of his grace and mercy. And if you, for the rest of your life, will treasure the word of God as planted in your heart, so that it's your joy and your delight, you're not going to stop with what you've memorized so far in catechism. And Romans, two verses, you got the whole book. Learn it, live it, love it. Spend your life. Luther said this is one that deserves to be memorized by all Christians. I'm not there yet, but we'll keep working on it to memorize Romans. Because this is where we see how the blessings of the Holy Spirit come in such rich abundance, so that we have this solid confirmation and solid training and eternal salvation. It's our prayer today, Naomi, that God, who has so richly blessed you so far, will continue to bless you always and in all ways. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.